In the year 1831, biologist Charles Darwin began a fateful journey on the HMS Beagle. On that journey, Darwin formulated the controversial theory of evolution, which has impacted society down to this day.
Our goal is to punch holes in that theory, so we'd like to welcome you to
Sink the Beagle.
Fire one, Captain!
Way to go, Stan. Nice shooting.
Why, thank you, John. I appreciate that. We love to see the target hit and sending that beagle down below the waves and evolution with it. I am Stan Hudson.
And I'm John Kurlinski, welcoming you to another fun-filled day of entertainment on Sink the Beagle, where we take lighthearted looks at the serious issues of evolution and creation.
Lighthearted because that's all we can do with such a fun topic as this. And John, today we're going to do some more fun stuff.
Fun stuff. Fun stuff. Actually, we're going to talk a little bit lightheartedly and fun about an area of evolution and creation that's often used as a proof that evolution is indeed taking place. And some of us would like to look at the evidence and probably think of something a little different. Mm-hmm. And that is the area of vestigial organs.
Vestigial. What do you mean by vestigial organs? Is that like a Hammond or a Wurlitzer organ?
No, it's not the kind you play. It's the kind you have.
Oh, okay.
Matter of fact, I am missing one of mine, and I think you still have yours.
Oh, now what's that?
My appendix. I have an appendectomy. I used to have an appendix. I had an attack back in college, and I remember going to get 7 stitches. They snared that little bugger out of me and and took it out.
It attacked you, huh?
It attacked me. I had an appendectomy attack. Appendicitis.
Well, and frankly, yeah, when we talk about vestigial organs, from probably the 1800s on, it's been a commonly used proof for evolution. And really, the theory of vestigial organs goes like this. We all have, or many animals have, organs now that they don't appear to need now, but perhaps at an early evolutionary stage, their ancestors needed it. But as they evolved, the organ no longer was necessary, and it's just sort of, well, just kind of, well, hanging on.
Hanging on. It's unneeded. Almost unwanted.
Unwanted.
Unwanted. Or,
like an appendix.
Like, well, actually.
In human beings, yeah, appendix is considered somewhat.
Though they do know, Stan,
okay,
that appendixes do have functions, and they do know they help in digestion, especially they discovered in other animals, other species, that animals that are large herbivores have larger functioning appendixes. But we who become more carnivores, as we become more carnivore, maybe the development or the lack thereof is due to our deterioration by eating meat. A, we die sooner. B, we don't need it because mm-hmm. we're not using it.
And we're grumpier.
It's kind of like muscle that isn't being used. It gets mm-hmm. kind of limpy and wimpy.
Well, what we're going to do today, John, is we are going to talk about some of the better known vestigial organs. And we go back, first of all, in 1798, 60 years before Darwin's first book was published, a French anatomist by the name of Saint-Hilaire traveled to Egypt with Napoleon, where he witnessed and wrote about a flightless bird whose wings appeared useless for soaring. Of course, it was an ostrich. Mm-hmm. He called it a cassowary, which had to do with sort of a general category of flightless birds. But anyway, when you look at an ostrich, well, yeah, you can kind of get that the wings there. I mean, they use the wings for running, balance, and maybe other things. Maybe attract the lady ostriches in some kind of display. But beyond that, there's no question that ostriches don't need wings or don't use their wings for flight.
They like to also cite things like human goosebumps. We have these
pilea
glands that kind of that pop up, and normally that all they can figure out for is like when a dog gets mad and he raises the hair on its back. Well, apparently we used to be able to do that once in a while too.
So why
now
do
we just wrinkle our eyebrows and look mean?
Why do we get goosebumps when we walk through a new car lot or something?
I don't know.
Okay, anyway, just
anyway. No.
So yeah, so it was to make us bigger, and supposedly the goosebumps would help the hair to stand on end and make us look bigger when we had lots of fur, you know, back in the Ukuk days.
But now we don't need fur at all. There's no
fur
for any of that hair except for maybe our eyebrows.
Why goosebumps?
why goosebumps is what they say. And mm-hmm. so therefore, it's just a vestige of a furrier day. When we needed to raise our hair to look mean and ferocious against some sort of other person or animal, mm-hmm. maybe threatening us.
Let's use another. For instance, how about whales? Biologists, the evolutionists believe that for 100 million years, the only vertebrates on Earth were water dwellers. In other words, we all came from the ocean at some point in time. They had no arms, no legs. But at some point, these fish began to develop, quote unquote, arms limbs. And legs, limbs. And then, eventually went for a walk.
But the mm-hmm. irony is that whales decided we don't like walking, we like swimming, so they went back.
They got back to the in the ocean pool, and first one back.
And developed new fins and new legs. They evolved in reverse, kind of shifted in reverse again and went back to whales. Mm-hmm. That's
back to the
just
water,
the whole theory, I hate to say it, is so far-fetched that, I mean, mm-hmm. to believe that because whales are mammals. That's what strikes them is...
Well, they base it somewhat on vestigial organs again. Yes. They supposedly have remains of back legs.
Yeah, they also say like the tailbone of our spine, the last bone. Of course, they don't understand how that helps us in sitting, in posture, and other mm-hmm. things, but they wanted mm-hmm. to assume it was vestigial, at least for a while. Now they're starting to kind of look at it a little differently, saying, well, maybe we do need these, or they are a benefit to us. But that's the many types of things that we talk about when we talk about vestigial organs that they try to use as proof that evolution is occurring. In other words, it's looking at current anatomy and making assumptions based mm-hmm. on lack of knowledge of what the function is, just because we might be able to live without it for a while.
Right, and that makes it vestigial.
One of your arms are vestigial because you can cut off an arm any time and live without it. There's people that even live without arms completely.
Okay, but there's no advantage to losing an appendix is supposedly no advantage, but an arm would be. So, I mean, don't you have to have the arms to
kind of... Well, I don't know. Maybe people... I've seen some people without arms that eat real good with their feet and button their shirts with their feet and everything.
Well, okay.
Anyway.
Well, okay, how about wisdom teeth? Humans have wisdom teeth. You ever wondered why we have wisdom teeth, since they generally all get pulled out at some point by a high-paid professional dentist?
They wanted to say it went back to a day when we had bigger jaws and bigger mouths, apparently.
Bigger jaws.
And what's interesting now, though, is they come in so much later, they say, well, the purpose was is that maybe they also speculated this. Maybe because we had such poor dental hygiene, the wisdom teeth are just kind of like backup reserves, kind of like the B team that would come in after you've rotted all your other teeth away because you didn't brush them enough when you were
before Crest and Colgate.
Yeah, your body was evolution was already anticipating Crest and Colgate, or wasn't anticipating Crest and Colgate.
Yeah,
it was pumping out wisdom teeth for you.
Yeah, now that we brush our teeth twice a day and therefore have our teeth still, we don't need the wisdom teeth. They're becoming vestigial.
Evolution
in front of our very eyes.
Ook.
Well, let's talk about sex. Shall we talk about sex, John?
Oh, well, we like to talk about sex occasionally here on the Sink the Beagle. Actually, what kind of sex are we talking about?
Oh, how about dandelions? Yeah, how about dandelions? Isn't that a fun topic?
Dandelions?
Well, dandelions.
Asexual?
They have them, but they don't use them.
Oh, well, they're lazy or what?
It must be out of motivation or something. Well, they have the proper sexual organs, the stamen and the pistil, but necessary for reproduction, but that's not how they do it. They don't use them.
They don't use them. They just grow up in your yard as weeds. They magically appear. Actually, I believe
they're
in evil spirits.
Whatever they're doing.
Evil spirits plant dandelions in your yard when you're not looking.
Actually, I'll go with that medieval thought.
Okay.
Yeah, that works. For me.
Or better yet, how about... Why sex? I mean, the whip-tailed lizard. Could you imagine, mm-hmm. Stan, being mm-hmm. on that island of only girls?
Only girls.
All whip-tailed lizards. But
and they don't need guys. They just, shall we say, make babies without guys.
Yeah, they're able to reproduce.
Just like dandelions.
Just like dandelions. Maybe they eat dandelions, and that's what it does. No.
There are examples, supposedly, of vestigial organs. In other words, they've got things that they don't use or don't need.
There's a few organizations in America that might like to get a hold of that information and figure it out. Think of a few liberal organizations in D.C. that may want to get rid of all the guys.
Let's get real personal. How about, this is a fun one, and this is as long as they've been talking about the subject of vestigial organs. How about nipples in the male mammary
glands.
Yes.
Some males can nurse, you know. Males can produce
good
the milk.
News for ladies, I guess, or is it?
Might be competition. Who knows?
But the point is, actually, all males have nipples. And what's the point or purpose of that? And they speculate that at some time earlier, maybe they did have the ability to nurse.
Dad, here, you nurse this guy.
Your turn. Well,
You get up in the night and nurse this kid. He's hungry. I'm not getting up. And then guys refuse to get up and say they lost their mammary glands. Is that what happened?
but today, it is true that far and away, they are non-functioning in terms of producing milk. They don't lactate. So it's, what's the point of it? We could go on things like this, vestigial organs, but one of the things that perhaps could shed some light on this is, frankly, a biblical view on this subject, and that is this, that when sin entered the world and the curse was pronounced by God on the animal world, when he was speaking to the serpent, to Lucifer, in the form of a serpent, he said, "You are cursed above all other cattle." Now, that's an interesting statement because it sounds like, in other words, the snake was going to change into whatever it was before, into something without arms and legs and slithery and ugly and yucky, and being affected by the physical effects of sin. All the other cattle apparently also felt some form of degeneration or deformation, they came from sin. And to me, that answers very, very easily things like flightless birds and so forth. The critters in this world were affected by sin just like mankind.
We seem to show in this world a degeneration.
Yes.
Man, instead of evolving into a higher creature or a more profound creature, a biblical picture is that the whole world is actually breaking down and running down, mm-hmm. and parts aren't functioning like it used to. It's kind of more like an old car that needs lots of overhauls and lots of parts.
Lots of love.
It's like a vestigial muffler. Mm-hmm. I've had a few of those and vestigial backseat. It's job for a while, but I don't have it anymore. I still runs without it, but I could sure use it maybe or something. No, the point is that the world is winding down and breaking down, and the Bible even says it's actually groaning because of the losses it has occurred because of sin, not the gains it makes because of human technology and wisdom. Our environment seems to be running down. Our human health seems to be running down. We can add some years to it because of better hygiene and better surgical methods.
New Testament says, that the creation is groaning.
Yes, and the vast majority of it is. We have a torpedo text, too, just to kind of look at a little bit.
Well, I'm going to compare a couple of texts, John. First of all, in Isaiah 45:18, it says, "For thus says the Lord, who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who has established it, who did not create it in vain." Or in other words, he did not create the planet with vain things going on with useless things going on.
And maybe some of the vestiges is our lack of understanding what the intention is or was.
Now I'd like to quote the birds in the very famous song by, "To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven," Ecclesiastes 3:1. So it seems like God created everything, the planet and everything that's in it, not in vain, but with purpose. And the parts of those different machines all were working and functioning just fine before sin came in. And then since that time, things may have been falling apart, and some of them may look like vestigial organs.
Yeah, and actually one of the more vestigial things I've seen, not an organ per se, but what seems to be dying in our world is faith.
Ooh.
Faith has become a vestigial item in the individual's life due to evolutionary thinking and evolutionary thought. And I think that's consequences, like all the others, are killing us. But you can tune in again. We'll talk more on these matters on another
Sink the Beagle.
Thanks for listening to Sink the Beagle. We'd like to send you a special gift just for being with us today. Write to our email address, beagle@lifetalk.net, and ask for your free copy of Dr. Dwight Nelson's book called Built to Last, A Thoughtful Look at Creation and Evolution. Ask for Built to Last when you write to beagle@lifetalk.net. And be sure to listen in next time to another episode of Sink the Beagle.
So join us here each week, my friends. You're sure to get a smile from 7 standard castaways here on Gilligan's Isle.